Kyle.
I'm Anthony.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Holy shit.
I'm alive.
There's someone in the room with me now. I don't even know how to handle this.
I am alive.
Welcome.
I'll be back for the foreseeable future until August 1st through the 8th when I go to Austin, Texas. But then I'll be back again.
I meant to ask you if you went to that.
I go August 1st August, through the 8th.
Okay. He's going to go see them Game Grumps.
Yeah.
And those
RTX in Austin.
Yeah. Anything else going on there?
Just a bunch of stuff. It's just a nerd convention, basically. They're going to have, like, stuff you can buy and displays and games that you can play that aren't out yet and stuff like that. So
it sounds fun.
Yeah, it's just a big convention.
You got back into Skyrim recently.
Did you? On your computer?
Or not even back in, as in playing for the first time Skyrim.
You like it?
Yeah, it's a Bethesda game.
What are you playing on?
All Bethesda games feel the same. So it's
they're all glitchy, but they're still good.
Like, it's like playing Fallout. So yeah. It's so
Fallout
far,
with swords.
So yeah. Okay, yeah, Fallout with swords. Yeah, it's Game of
what
Thrones.
What are you playing
Fallout.
It on?
360.
Oh, okay.
My old booting up the old 360.
Jesus. So you're getting like the
like worst blowing
experience.
The dust off. I guess it is the worst experience now, considering bringing it back, guys.
Xbox 360.
I'm bringing it back.
God, I was going to be the only one left on the Xbox 360.
Everybody's going to be back on that 360. Let's get those releases out.
As soon as the new Xbox comes out, he'll be like, all right, upgrading to Xbox One. Like,
what's left to call it? Xbox, the next one.
It's going to be Xbox 2. They restarted.
Oh, nice. A little reboot the franchise?
I don't know.
Or just have it just be Xbox.
Xbox. Our branding sucks.
Did you do that before? Nah, it's Xbox. But it was before. Look at these games. Check them out. Halo's coming back.
Don't you remember that shitty brick controller that only worked for people with giant hands?
Hell yeah, it did.
Yeah, of course you did. You massive motherfucker.
Giant hands controllers are the shit. Looking at you, N64. That's my bro.
Kyle dominated on N64 because he could actually reach all the buttons without having to move it.
Yep. Y'all motherfuckers were just pretending to hold a controller like that. Yeah. That's how I actually had to do it. Times are tough. I'm sorry. Let's bring the N64 back. How about that? We can develop some nice little games on a. See what these guys are doing now with Nintendo? Like, they're actually releasing Nintendo games. Like, they're programming these games, putting them on the cartridges and releasing them.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
It is pretty sweet.
Oh, I wish
they're
going to
totally get sued, but it's pretty sweet.
Yeah. What are you going to do? We've missed a lot with you. Or actually one big piece of news.
Yeah.
That you haven't gotten to comment on yet. Or a couple of pieces, right?
Yeah.
Carlson thing's been going on.
Yeah.
Been dragging
on. I've been watching from a distance. I haven't really been engulfed in it. The Carlson thing, yeah. The other thing you're referring to, sort of. Mostly just wagging my dick at FSU Twitter, but I mean.
Are you going to watch the Bucks this year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch the Bucks.
Okay.
I don't deny that at all. I'm going to watch the Bucks. It's just part of who I am.
As
but,
am I.
But bottom line is Jameis Winston's a piece of shit. And
Allegedly. You know what else,
allegedly
bro?
Allegedly a piece of shit.
Best quarterback ever at the age of 24.
Yeah, it's nice that you can take a time frame and cut off everything else for the fact that, his numbers speak for themselves, bro. He's, he's right up there, I guess. Whatever. I don't care. He's still a piece of shit. Like,
you know what those kind of stats mean
allegedly.
To me? It's like when people say that he's like the best quarterback before the age of 24, that makes me think of like, well, no team that's ever lost the first two games of the Stanley or of the Eastern Conference Final have ever gone on to win the Stanley Cup Championship. Like, that's what those mean to me. It's just it's only a thing until someone else does it.
Yeah.
Like, what people remember you for is being the best at something, not these like loser fucking. Well, you know, he's thrown more touchdown passes of people named Jameis than any other people any else in the world, baby.
Yeah, people are like, oh, he's the best quarterback in Bucks history. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, how hard is that? Like, think about the quarterbacks we've had in our fucking history, bro. Like, a bunch of journeymen and then a few rookies that didn't pan out.
Bunch of journeymen, including the likes of Steve Young and Doug
Testaverde.
Williams. Vinny Testaverde. Trent Dilfer, Super Bowl winner.
Brad Johnson,
of course.
Super Bowl winner.
Josh Freeman, who everybody likes to say, well, there's nothing like these guys.
Really?
You think? All right, well, fair enough.
That's like saying That's like an expansion team coming out and be like, he's our record holder. Like, that's pretty much what it is for one of the Bucks quarterback situation. Like, okay, you're the best of, like, the average at best.
That doesn't mean that he can't go on and have a prosperous career. It's
he totally could. If Jameis Winston if Jameis Winston pans out like everybody thinks he will, I don't think it'll be in a Bucks jersey.
You heard it here first, folks.
I really don't.
Anthony is calling Jameis
because
Winston.
Now it's decision time. The guy's got one more year till we have to either give him the big contract or let him walk. Right?
What if he Joe Maddens us and just goes to the Cowboys and wins him the Super Bowl?
Well, then fuck him. Fuck him even more than I already hate him, so it'll work out better anyway.
Now I can openly hate him. I hate you.
Yeah,
he would totally do something like that. But he's a Florida. No, he's not Florida. He's Alabama.
What are the Bucks do, man? Like, you've got a problem quarterback who can't seem to stop putting himself in bad situations or saying things to make himself look stupid. Who has played well, yes, but maybe not up to the expectations of maybe the front office or the coaching staff or anybody like that. Yet you're going to owe him a lot of money if you want to give him the contract, that his second contract. What do you do? Do you invest in what could potentially be a head case who maybe isn't even that good enough to justify keeping him around? Or do you bank on the fact that he hasn't reached his ceiling yet and give him the big contract? Because what he's shown so far has been good, but I would argue it doesn't justify a gigantic contract like the one that he would get.
Right. I don't know. They're operating. They're just operating their business. It's like a football team that they're looking at it purely from a football standpoint. And they're like, well, we're going to be missing him for three games. Well, if he got injured, it would be the same thing, right? Oh yeah, okay. So let's think of it like that.
No.
Let's think of it like he's getting injured, and you know, okay, he's going to miss the first three games. But then I think that's how they have to look at it, at least at this point. Whether or not you like it is a whole other thing. But
I just think that you have to be careful with someone like him, and that's the shred of doubt that I think will be in the front office's mind. Is I think you can justify a big contract based on his on the field play, but can you risk giving him a big contract when he might cause you more bad publicity down the road, or even do something so heinous that he can't even play anymore? You know, but who knows? Who knows at this point? Obviously, the guy has shown time and time again that he lacks a certain amount of self-control in terms of...
Bro, he leads the league in lack of self-control before the age of 24, okay? let's just put it out there.
Yeah.
Greatest lack of decision-making since, I don't know.
And I ran through, like, his quote-unquote rap sheet, and, like, most of it's, like, stupid college shit, like shooting a BB gun in the dorms or, you know, yelling fucker right in the pussy in the student hall, I think, or something like that. But
by the way, wouldn't that be crazy to see your blue chip prospect up there?
Yeah, on a table. No, at that point he was already established. Like,
he was the quarterback. That's
like,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
He got suspended for the Clemson game for that.
Yeah, and it was this, and he was yelling that like post. Hey, man, you're being investigated for fucking rape, man. Like, how stupid are you? Like, I'm going to jump up in one of the most populated places on the campus in, like, the student union hall, which on any college campus in the country is always packed with students because there's free food. You know, like, you're going to jump up and say that in the middle of a rape investigation? Like, now, how stupid are you?
I've never gone to, like, a big school like that. How common is it to see, like, the football players, right? Let's say that I'm going to Alabama. How common do you think it is to see just any of those guys walking
around?
When
I was at UF, like, you would see them sometimes, but either they were taking, like, joke classes, like, especially the ones that you knew were going to the NFL. They were just taking classes just so they could say that they were students so they could play football.
Right.
But, like, the lower class guys, like, down on the depth chart, like walk-ons or whatever, you see those guys all the time because they were just basically students who played football.
True, okay, yeah.
But, like, the bigger-than-life, like, starters and whatever, like, yeah, you would see them. And they were in class. A lot of them were.
Okay.
But, like, I never had a class with one of them, but you would see him walking around or on a moped. That was more likely to see him on a moped or something.
How
like
often
that.
Did you see him, like, on campus just acting a fool?
I wasn't there when the football team was very good. So,
somebody tweet me that. How many times has your star college player?
But I know guys that were at UF when Tebow was there and Harvin was there and stuff like that, and they were like, no, dude, they were bigger than life. Like, they were like people were asking for Tebow's autograph like in class and stuff like that, and like
it has to be
down to the bare bones, like he's your colleague, like he's a fellow student, right? Mm-hmm. But like in reality he's a celebrity. He's a Heisman Trophy winning national championship quarterback who's going to probably go on to the pros. Like, it's Tim Tebow.
He's like he's still that way. In spite of all his shortcomings in the NFL, like he's like a god, like walking on earth. If you saw him like at Publix, you'd be like, holy shit, fucking, this is Tim Tebow.
Yeah, you know, he's Tim Tebow, a baseball player, apparently. He's actually doing okay all of a sudden.
Is he?
No, he's hitting like 260.
Wait, we're going down a weird path here. We're going to start sucking Tebow's dick after trashing Jameis Winston.
No, he's a shitty. Tim Tebow fit that offense really well, and that's why he was very good. But he wasn't really that great of an actual quarterback, to be honest with you. He never was. But
for old Jameis there, let's see. I think there's – I have nothing new to say about it, really.
I know. You've said your piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just haven't. I've always been one of the more outspoken ones about him, and especially in the fan base, at least from what I see, what I follow, and the media outlets that cover the Bucks. But I just – I've never liked the guy. Really, I was willing to tolerate him because, like, okay, like, it happened, he was queered, whatever, like, what am I going to say? Like, how often can I say that I think it's all bullshit? But, like, I just kind of let it be. But after these recent allegations and stuff like that, and it's resurfaced again, that, especially within the fan base where it's like, the media's out to get him and stuff like that, it's like, no, bro, like, he's just a fucking idiot. Like, bottom line, end of the day, like, he's just a fucking idiot. Like, he might be a great quarterback, but the dude got in a car with a dude who was under investigation for rape at Vanderbilt, who was eventually convicted of rape at Vanderbilt. Like, he has to know that the public is watching him now and that the spotlight is on you, and you cannot slip up because of your prior past. I don't care if he's queered or not. His name was involved in a rape allegation, okay? Mm-hmm. And one that, to some people, was extremely credible. So, you have to know better, and he doesn't. He's a fucking idiot. And I will say that till I don't care if he goes and wins his 4 Super Bowls. I don't give a shit. If he has a Hall of Fame career, at the end of the day, he'll always be a fucking idiot. And the people that say, oh, he's a kid. He's a kid. He's learning, bro. He's 24, okay? I'm 22, and I'm expected to behave like a man, like an adult.
Right.
Okay? It doesn't matter that he's 20, you know, that he's an NFL player and he's just having fun and he's doing all the stuff the kids do. No, he's 24 fucking years old and he's a millionaire and he's a face of a team and a franchise and a
city.
Community.
Yeah.
You have to know better. I don't care. No, there's no more of the shit. And that shit really didn't even fly in college.
No, it didn't. You're right. But if there's one thing I agree with all that. Let me just tell you that. I do agree with you.
Yeah.
Right. And like, let's put that sticker on it. But he has made an effort. I think he has really tried. At least he's putting on the face of a great guy. I mean, he's done things for the community.
Sure.
And he's
and I can't take that away from him. He did everything he could to build goodwill because he knew that he needed to.
Because it's just so. Isn't it so strange to you that it's like he denies everything, right? But then he denying everything, but I'm ending my drinking, my relationship with alcohol. Like, you're not doing that unless something is wrong.
Unless
here.
Something
this
happened.
Got, something had
when you
to
were
have
drunk
happened.
Again.
Yeah. So that maybe that's if he's gonna give up alcohol, that's a big thing, you know.
Whatever, man.
Maybe
he's giving it up because he knows that when he drinks, he puts himself in bad situations. So whatever, good for you.
But his ceiling now is like Roethlisberger, right? What, no matter where Roethlisberger goes in his life, even if he makes the Hall of Fame, you still always know what's associated with his name. At least I do. At least I still do.
Yeah.
So
that doesn't go away.
No, it never does.
There's always gonna look.
Same with Tom Brady.
There might be thousands of people telling you out there that you're the greatest of all time. If Jameis Winston goes on to have an amazing career, it wins a bunch of Super Bowls with the Bucks and breaks all kinds of records, fine. But there always will be people that'll go, well, yeah, he's also a piece of shit.
Right.
That happens to literally every player in the situation.
Just like Tom Brady's a cheater. Just like Dan Marino never won a Super
Brett
Bowl.
Favre
just
is,
like,
yeah,
yeah Brett
an
Favre.
Asshole.
Yeah. He also had a pill addiction. Addiction to painkiller. And he's, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's like Roethlisberger apparently raping that girl in the bathroom, like, or whatever it was in the bathroom in a club or something like that, like that he got accused of or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, some terrible.
Warren Sapp. Look at Warren Sapp.
Warren Sapp's a piece of shit.
Meanwhile, Simeon Rice, great guy.
The only he's one fucking, is fuck. Yeah, and
Simeon Rice is directed
and
movies.
And Derrick Brooks, too. Like,
he talked about how he became transcendent during the Super Bowl year. I was like, ah, that's so Simeon Rice. Yeah. At least I don't think he's done anything wrong. If he has, then fuck him.
But apparently, Cal Winslow Jr. is a real piece of shit.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, dude,
he just got charged with the rape of like a teenager back in 2003 too.
Now
like,
that's a pattern, okay?
Yeah,
that's something where you're like, this guy has a lot of, you know, I don't know, maybe if he was a good quarterback, we'd be like looking the other way or something.
I just, man,
that guy was nuts. That guy tried not to. He didn't hide who he was on or off the field.
Didn't he talk about one time like, I go to war out there?
Yeah, he's like, he's a soldier.
Jesus, like,
yeah, I guess you kind of do.
Yeah, you do.
Oh God. Are we done? Is this?
Yeah,
do we have anything else?
We can
stop
talking about it.
I feel like I had another little take.
I got out what I needed to get out. But.
All right. Well, we're done. We're done with the Bucks then for
a while.
For a little bit.
We're still in the draws of summer.
Two
right
weeks
now.
At least. Training camp starts in a couple
good.
Weeks.
So we can talk about some dude who's playing well in training camp that's never going to
contribute
on the fucking mini camp, maybe?
Mini camp. That might have been
or some
something
rookie
like
camp
that.
Or
yeah.
Whatever the fuck ever. Yeah.
This is July. There's no way mini camp starts.
It starts in August, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the season starts in what, late August, September? So
yeah. Kind of preseason. Well, yeah. It is getting kind of close. Not that I don't know how excited I am.
I'm not really.
I'm having fun.
Especially because, like, the first three games are just going to be a wash because it's going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick or whatever, so.
I think they win one of those games. I honestly do.
Probably. They
I
probably end up 1-2. Whatever.
How much of a good team we are this year, it remains to be seen. But I think we're a better team than last year, and I think we would come away with a win there. At least one.
Great. It'll be another mediocre fucking season at best, probably.
Okay, now here, if I was a better podcaster, right? If I was more prepared for the show, this is where I'd play the supercut of bold predictions.
Nikita Kucherov.
that Anthony's made in the last every show.
Yeah.
Or that I have made on his behalf.
And of course, the weeks that I'm gone, I can't make it.
Well, at least you came back for the right show, right? If you wouldn't have been back this week, I don't know what to do. Like, I've got to put together some kind of Anthony Nikita Kucherov
supercut.
But Nikita Kucherov signs a hefty contract, the most expensive Lightning contract ever. Bro, he's got the most expensive contract at the age of 26, right? Age 26?
No, dude, he's younger than that.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
Let's look it up. I want to say, like, you might
he
be
might,
right.
He
24?
Might be 26. 24, I thought.
Nikita Kucherov.
He came up young, so.
Yeah, I know he's still a young dude. 25.
Okay.
So, yeah, bro, yep. Richest contract at the age of 25 for a Lightning. Although I did see, okay, we did just call these loser stats, right?
Yeah.
So, but he did, like, I think I saw some kind of SB Nation article about how he, like, he's on track for one of the best statistical seasons of any, or statistical careers of any
NHL. Yeah, bro, he's had one of the best five-year starts ever for a hockey player.
Yeah. So that's it just
he's only behind Connor McDavid in points since he joined the league. So it's like I don't know, man. To get him at 9.5 is just another like boss move.
It's
by
a
Eisenman.
Bunch of bullshit, bro. We got to address this in the next CBA. Okay, we got this.
Fuck.
What Tampa's getting away with here? We gotta rethink this one here.
We're getting away with it, man.
Getting away with murder.
We're getting away with straight murder.
I mean, just look at the likes of the Florida Panthers.
Yeah,
getting away with it. That's such a ridiculous argument.
It's only an argument because Montreal's getting it stuck up their fucking ass with taxes that they have to sign everybody to bigger deals. Sorry, bro. Sorry, we finally have an advantage over you in some aspect of this fucking twisted.
A slight advantage,
yeah. It's not my fault that you fuckers, like, narrow your searches to, oh, he's got to speak French.
What if, Anthony, what if our advantage, and call me crazy here, call me, just, I don't know, just go with me. I just want you to follow me
down this path.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if our advantage is that we're a really fucking good hockey team? He knows that, and he's like, well, I want to win a cup, and he's closer with this team than he can be with any other team. Maybe it's that. I don't know.
Could be.
I don't know.
Fuck.
I think maybe I'm out of my mind.
I said it on Twitter, and it's like, Toronto, Montreal, name any rich fucking hockey team, the Rangers, whatever, Detroit, they get pissed about this because their advantage used to be that there was no salary cap.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That they could spend all the money they wanted to on all the big players and not win shit, Toronto. Even when there wasn't salary cap, you still couldn't win. Even though you had all that, you have more money than fucking God up there. But it's just like, you're going to sit there and bitch that we have an advantage, yet you have every other fucking advantage. You're the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're the Montreal Canadiens. You have all the resources in the world.
People sleep with your bed sheets.
Yeah.
And dream of playing for you.
Yeah, you just signed a dude who literally said, oh, I had dreams of playing for you. Like, there's nobody, there's not a single player on the Lightning's roster that's from Tampa. Is there?
Okay, so hold on.
Is there?
Can I go off on a tangent here? I asked this question of myself. I think I talked with Chase about this the last show. But if you're a young man at the age of 18 and someone wants to pick you up or sign you, or maybe you're a free agent. You're a free agent this year. You're a great hockey player. Someone wants to pick you up. It's either your hometown, Tampa Bay Lightning, you liked them as a kid, or it's fucking Maple Leafs, or the Canadiens. Which one do you do?
Your hometown.
Think so?
I would, but I'm biased.
I think I might tell my hometown to fuck off. Like, I want to play in Toronto and New York. Like, I want to know what that's like.
If the Lightning are as good as they were now, then yeah. But
it's, no, I'm saying I'm the anti-Travers. I'd tell my hometown to go fuck themselves because I want to go play.
A lot of hockey players do, bro.
Yeah.
A lot of hockey players have told the Leafs over the years to go fuck themselves, Stamkos being one of them.
I saw some like snooty-ass article or a tweet. It was like a tweet of this guy.
The Toronto Maple Leaf fans have been so snooty since
somebody
Savard
was like,
signed.
He did what Stamkos was afraid to do.
Which is horseshit. Stamkos took a meeting with the Leafs the same way Tavares did. Okay, right. It was the same exact situation. Stamkos took a meeting with them. He listened to them. And the Leafs were ready to sign him if he wanted to come. Okay? So don't fucking come at me with the shit that Stamkos is afraid. No, he wasn't afraid. But he looked at the two situations. At the time, the Leafs were right in the middle of a rebuild. They weren't where they are now.
Right.
They're not ready to contend. Now they are ready to contend. Okay, he looked at the two situations and went, well, here's my best chance with Tampa. It might be because the Leafs' decor is shit.
Right.
Okay? Their forward group is stacked, no doubt. Their forward group is scary as shit. Austin Matthews, William Nylander, Mitch Marner, John Tavares.
When does that work, though, in the playoffs? We know that so
you
well.
You need defense.
That's our how far have our fucking stacked forwards got us?
Almost there.
Almost. We're there. We're right there.
But haven't pushed us over the edge.
Yeah.
Which we will get to, hopefully, fixing that. But,
Slater cuckoo.
Yeah. But to me, it's so getting back to what I was saying about the advantage thing, you are literally the Toronto fucking Maple Leafs. You are the richest hockey team in hockey. Yes, you have a salary cap that restricts you, but you have all the other resources in the world to go get a great coach, to go get the best scouts in the world, to have the best GM in the world, to have the best facilities in the world. You have every other fucking advantage in the book, and the one advantage you're like, the CBA needs to fix that. The Tampa can't have that. Why can't they have that? We can't have that. Why? It pisses me off because it's like, We already were playing with the deck stacked against us.
Stack stepped.
We're Tampa. We're a hockey team in Florida. There's no youth movement here. There is now, but it's years away from ever paying off. We already have the deck stacked against us. Why all of a sudden that we can sign these guys at prices that aren't going to completely destroy us down the road?
Right.
Nikita Kucherov at $9.5 million is a goddamn steal. McDavid, out of his entry level, got 11.5.
Yeah.
With the Oilers. And Kucherov, you could argue, is at that level of at least production.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a top three.
Yeah.
Like, wasn't he top three in scoring?
Yeah.
So, absolutely.
He scored over 100 points. You know how hard that is to fucking do?
Yeah. And I wonder if Steven Stamkos has any thoughts on this.
No, why would he?
Right. I think these guys just want it, man. These guys want to win a cup.
Look, this was the one guy. Look, I knew I knew Hedman was going to stay at a decent price because Victor Hedman generally like loves this area,
yeah,
and loves being a member of the Lightning.
He's embraced
and, like,
it. He's embraced.
Yeah, he's embraced it. Like, and he's a Swedish like teddy bear. Like,
isn't he?
I knew that. I knew that he was going to take like he was going to get his, but he was going to take a price that like we fit in the books and that Yzerman could work with,
mm-hmm.
right? He'd Stamkos at the precedent, whatever you want to say. I wasn't so sure that Kucherov was going to do that because it's Kucherov and like you don't know, like
right.
He's quiet, he doesn't talk to the media very much, like you don't know if like he could have very easily drove up the price with Yzerman. He very could easily played hardball. He did not have to sign this deal this year. He still had another year in his contract. He could have had another fucking 100 point season
and
drove it up even more, but he signed for 8 years at 9.5. yes, the most expensive contract on the team. The most expensive contract in Lightning history, right?
In Lightning history,
yeah.
Yes.
It's still that, but two things that came out of it. One, that's a really manageable cap hit.
Right.
And we have guys coming off the books next year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Two, three things, really. He signed already, so Yzerman doesn't have to worry about that going into next year. It's done. The deal kicks in, 8 years, $9.5 million.
There's a lot of things. I think Vasilevskiy's the biggest thing he's got to worry about in the next 2 years, right?
Yeah, and then Hellebuck with the Jets, who's also around the same age, signed for like 6.75. I would guess, my guess would be 8 years at $8 million for Vasi.
Especially if he
is. Which is steep for a goalie, but
he should have won. But he should have won the Vezina this year. Like,
Vezina,
well,
yeah.
Or Vezina. I'm sorry, I always mispronounce that.
Yeah.
But
Vasi's got two more years to drive up his price at whatever it may be. But it's just good because Yzerman now knows. Okay, I have the number. I know what I'm going to have to work around to get Point signed and to get Sergachev signed and
yeah.
get Vasilevskiy signed, which they're all RFAs, so they're going to come back.
Yeah.
But you have to move the money first. And there's a lot of guys on expendable contracts. You know, Seattle's going to come into the league. I can almost guarantee you if we leave Tyra Johnson exposed, they're going to take him because he's from fucking Seattle.
Right.
Like,
oh,
yeah.
Wow, yeah, that's a great take.
Yeah. Ryan Callahan has now a modified NTC, meaning he has like 10 or 15 teams that would be willing to take him. If we put a prospect in there and sweeten it up, we could probably dump that contract. Strawman comes off the books. Girardi comes off the books. Coburn comes off the books. A lot of guys are coming off the books. So this roster is going to look different regardless. Mm. We're probably not going to
retain
a lot of them.
Yeah.
Just because we need to sign Point. We're going to have to sign Sergachev. You got to sign Vasilevskiy. I mean, there's going to be turnover here. But now Yzerman has real, honest numbers. He's not predicting what Kucherov's going to get or want. He knows what Kucherov wants, and the guy is signed. So that's one monkey off his back, you know, which is good. There's a lot to be said for that. Knowing what you're working with versus guessing.
Go, keep going.
So, I don't know, man. It's really helped. It's going to help the future of this team. But make no mistake about it, they're still in win now mode for sure.
Yeah,
like
I think
100%. Like this, keeping Kucherov with obviously keeping the core together is signaling that hey, you know, we're still in win now mode. It's still go win a cup soon, you know. And I think the McDonough extension signaled that as well. Even though I don't agree with that extension, I would have let him play this year and then just let him walk because he's already.
Was he under for another year?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's going to be real old by the time that contract is up. So it's. I don't know. That contract could end up looking like the back end of Callahan's contract at some point. But you're going to always have at least one or two of those, I guess. But they're going all in.
He tends to do that, but that's sort of the message that he sends to his players. Like, hey, look, I'm going to take care of you. If you take care of this team, I'm going to take care of you. He sent that message time and time again where we've kind of disagreed with it with, like, God, fucking Killorn, really? Or, like, you know, Callahan at the time, I guess, kind of made sense. But, like, there's just, like, little Tyler Johnson maybe – but I think the message overall that he sends to his players is like, listen, you perform, I'll take care of you. Look at my track record. Look at these guys I've signed, guys who have performed hit for him in the past.
And like in Callahan's case, like really, you could justify that Yzerman could have bought him out this past year because he just isn't performing at $5.8 million a year. But like shit, man, like he's stayed loyal to him and kept him on the roster and hasn't asked him to waive his no trade clause, you know, even though it's becoming modified anyway. So I don't know, man. there's something to be said for the precedent that he's setting with these guys. Like, I'll take care of you. And sure, like, that resonates around the league, free agents that might want to come in. Like, hey, like, yeah, Iserman's honest when it comes to contracts and numbers and stuff like that. Like, he's not trying to fuck you over. Same time, though.
He'll sell you his house, bro.
Yeah.
He's got a pretty sweet house to sell you.
Same time, though, we also have to consider that at some point, money's going to have to free up somewhere. We're getting to that point now.
There's tough decisions that need to be made. Right. I think, like, look, the reason I was looking through the computer, but, like, look at the Blackhawks in 2015 with the sort of team that they put together and the contracts that they alluded in. They knew that they're going to, that tough decisions are going to be made somewhere around here.
But you got to, but they win the cup, nobody cares.
Right. They
won three of them.
They won three of them. Right. Yeah. And then suddenly they had to offload all
now
that.
Now they're
talent
in a cap crunch and they have to offload a bunch of talent, but they won three cups and nobody really cares. Like that's exactly the precedent. If the Lightning end up in like 3 or 4 years in a horrible cap crunch and don't have a cup to show for it,
that's
a tough pill to swallow.
Tough. Yeah. But listen, I think we're still quite a ways away from that.
Yeah, we are, and these are smart deals too. I mean, Taves and Kane got over 10 mil.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
that's right. They
Stamkos at 8.5, Kucherov at 9.5, Hedman at 8.75 or whatever.
I thought it was a little
less than Stamkos or something like that. Those are manageable deals.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like and especially with all the Iserman's really good at like navigating contracts and having key off seasons where contracts are just falling off the books.
Yeah.
He's always really good at that. That's one thing, like his plans go like 5-6 years down the road, like, okay, when we come to this off season and Point needs a contract, if he produces at this level, this is what needs to come off the books, and sure enough, contracts are falling off the books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Girardi, Coburn, Strawman, all those guys that already said. So there'll be money. That money's immediately going to be taken up by guys that need to be resigned, but that's fine. You keep the core in place, it's fine. And there's movable deals. Like JT Miller just signed an extension, but that deal's completely movable. Mm-hmm. Someone will take that if we need to. Callahan, like I said, you can sweeten it with a prospect if you need to move him, you know, or a prospect or a couple picks or whatever to get him off the fucking books. Have somebody eat that whole, like a bad team, like someone that needs to reach the cap for, like Arizona or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of guys that you can move.
Yeah.
Tyler Johnson's movable. If you wanted to move Pilat at some point, you probably could. Killorn, you could probably move him at some point. Like, you know, those are all guys that are movable. Those contracts aren't so fucking anchors, and those guys are decent players. Teams would want them. So.
And that's going to come in handy if, what's been speculated to happen for a week now. I thought for sure, like, trade's going down tonight.
That's what everybody thought. I thought so too.
But. Not so much now.
Because there was a pretty credible source that said it was happening. A TSN guy, like, that's pretty credible.
But it seemed just like that was like there's only a couple people reporting, and then everybody picked it up from there, right?
Right, and ran with it.
And kind of ran with it. Yeah. Nobody really had answers.
So the thing about the Carlson trade is it's always been a pipe dream.
And I think it still definitely is.
It still sort of is. The Lightning, like, what really added the fuel to that fire was All-Star Weekend because he was so happy here.
Yeah.
He was playing with Hedman and Stamkos on the line during the game, and they were all, like, real fucking, like, smiling, and, like, they'd scored a goal or whatever, and Kucherov and Stamkos, like, give him a big hug because Hedman didn't play because he was hurt.
Yeah.
But, like, Hedman and him doing the pirate thing for Gasparilla, like, mm-hmm. And Carlson has said, and it's been confirmed, that one of the places that he would like to go would be Tampa, and one of the places he'd be willing to sign an extension with would be Tampa if he was traded there. So, yeah, there's signs saying that, yeah, that could happen, but it's always been a pipe dream, really.
Absolutely.
And the Swedish power duo of Victor Hedman and Erik Karlsson would be fucking amazing. I mean, that'd be one of the most lethal defensive pairings ever. Like, those two guys are both great offensively and defensively. Like, it's just, that would definitely put us over the top, and it would make sense in... You know, and everything would fit right. But one, there's two things, really. Money, number one, okay, that guy's, Carlson's going to command, I mean, just Doughty just got $11 million per year.
Right.
Carlson's better than Doughty, really.
I mean,
I don't know if a guy that doesn't have any history here takes a discount like the other guys have. Even as much as Carlson might love Tampa, like, is he really going to take a discount to stay here? Like, I doubt it, man. He's already stated that he's going to go get his in free agency.
Absolutely,
like,
dude. That's the thing. That, I mean, it's the thing is it's taking this long because we certainly can't afford to trade for him current roster. So we got to trade something away. We got to trade some.
You got to move some money.
You got to move money. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. I think that's what I.
And that's why they're getting a third team involved. Every right. rumor about this trade happening was saying like the Rangers or someone on the side take a bad contract, but take some prospects too from right. either team or what the fuck ever, however they do it, you know, to free up money so Lightning can have Carlson. He's only at 6.5 right now. And he's got another year left. So you could bring him in now. Move one bad contract like Callahan or whatever, and you could fit him this year. But the way Yzerman works, as we saw McDonough Miller, he's like, well, I don't want rentals.
Right.
He's like, if this guy's in his prime, I want to lock him up and make him part of the core. Which,
God, if that happens, we're good for a while.
Yeah.
For a long while. Yeah. But that's why I think it's a. I don't trust anything. So to me, he's not. He's
There's
never going
to
be ours.
On hockey Twitter.
He's never going to be ours.
Two people on hockey Twitter that if they tweeted something like Carlson's coming, I would believe would Elliot Friedman and Bob McKenzie. Those guys are always on it and they're always right, and they're big names. And like, so if they tweeted and said this is happening, like it's going to happen, it's just a matter of when.
Yeah.
I would be like, oh shit, it's happening. But anybody else, it's like you're probably just tweeting a tweet, like. Who's your source? Like, are you actually talking to people in the NHL? Like, or are you just saying this because you read it somewhere in a forum or something like that? Like, it's there's differences of media, but anyway.
You never know. Toronto could come in there like last minute and just like just go for it. Like I don't know.
Yeah,
that's what I.
We
think.
Certainly have the prospects and the picks to get to make it happen. I mean, it would be. People were like, oh, I don't want to trade Sergachev. I don't want to trade, you know, Foot. I don't want, you know, you got to give to get, man. Like, yeah. Erik Karlsson's an elite defender. Like, you're going to have to give up something. Like, Dorian's not just going to, as shitty as the Sens are and as shitty as that whole organization is right now, and as shitty as their GM is, it's still Erik Karlsson. Like, he knows you got to get something for him. Like,
so, Sergachev?
I would give up Sergachev for Karlsson.
Would you?
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
And I love Sergachev, and I think he's got the potential to be elite, but
that's well
proven elite versus potential elite, especially in a situation where you got to win now.
Yeah.
You want Karlsson.
It's true. Goal scoring defenseman, man. That's what Sergachev. I mean,
all around elite defenseman.
You're trained proven for
potential.
Yeah, which, and I think like they're
and not only proven is prime too.
Right.
Karlsson's at that like sweet age right now where he's got like 4 or 5 years of elite play left, and I'm like,
God damn,
that it would be a super team.
That would be a pretty super team, and nobody could. I mean, I'm sure people would talk shit like that. We're piling on, right?
Fuck you.
But yeah, we developed everyone but Karlsson.
Yeah,
he's Kevin Durant
Strowman
coming over
too.
To us.
We signed Strowman.
That's right, we did sign Strowman.
Yeah, but our team has free agents on it, but the
and
core
the
of our team
and the trades too. That's the other thing.
The core of our team that we either traded for as prospects and developed them, or developed from within and drafted.
Right.
So if you want that piece to put you over the top, Erik Karlsson is certainly it, 100%. And it would be worth whatever we gave up for him besides, like, probably.
I do think we need
There's only one person, really, I wouldn't give up, and that would be Point, because I think you need the center depth. But
I think we do need to add somebody. Something needs to be added to this. I don't think the current team certainly did well, and maybe that we were one bad game away from being in the Stanley Cup
final. People would argue that
but
the bottom six is going to get reinforced by prospects. Because there's a lot of good forwards in the system right now, as there always is.
Yeah.
But defense, it's really Foot and then, like, a bunch of unknowns. And Foot's still a little ways away. He's still got to play in the AHL and stuff like that.
We just drafted him, right?
Yeah, like 2 years ago. Yeah. Or, like, a year ago. Not this past draft, but the one before it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so 2 years ago. So there's guys that are coming through the pipeline, but they're not ready yet. And if you can go get a fucking Erik Karlsson, you do it. If you can do it and make it work and lock him up and keep him, you fucking do it, man.
Do it now. Don't
worry about it later. Worry about the cap crunch later. Go win a cup. Go win two cups. Shit, man. Please. God. I don't want to be that team that
please God
should have won a cup and didn't.
Oh, God.
I don't want to be the Sharks. I don't want to be the Capitals until recently.
Oh, man. I see a lot of Capitals fans talking shit about us, too. Like, ah,
all of a sudden, yeah.
now they'll take any chance they get because we're the new Caps.
Yeah.
So,
we're the Sharks. Us and the Sharks. The Sharks are the West Coast
version
of us.
Yeah, Western. Yeah.
Sucks, man. But they still got time to change that. Don't doubt.
What was it? Remember when the Buffalo Sabres were like fucking ridiculous? They were winning the President's Trophy every year and then just did nothing.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
It's hard, man.
Yeah.
You can be the best. Look, does the best team in the league win the cup every year? Probably not.
No.
The Capitals weren't the best team in the league last year. Overall, no. But they caught fire at the right time. And
they were lucky. They had the bounces.
They had guys chip in like Devontae Smith-Pelly, who scored 7 goals in the playoffs and 7 goals in the regular season.
And they stayed healthy, dude. They stayed super
stayed healthy.
Stayed for Tom
Wilson.
Holby
played well. They didn't shoot themselves in the foot. They got the bounces. It's just luck.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck. When the Lightning won their cup in 04, we had a bunch of bounces go our way.
Of course. Every Calgary fan remembers that goal.
That should have been.
Yeah. they remember it quite well. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's
you just need it, man. It's a tough sport.
I was reading about that season recently, and especially with like how much we've been in the playoffs recently, and thinking like you know how always you get that burn in you during the playoffs, especially when we play away games, and I'm just like, fuck all these people, fucking loser pieces of shit.
Yeah,
like that's how I feel whenever we like just and like just that whole feeling of hockey. I suddenly like flashed myself back to that when I was reading about the Calgary Flames. And do you remember the whole thing with Calgary was like. Overnight, they became the fastest-selling jersey in the NHL.
Yeah.
And they had that red, like, the red ring of death, like, the fire ring, where it was, like, all red around the stadium.
Like a shitty metal show or something.
And
like
the fucking fans were going crazy. I remembered that whole thing, and I'm like, ah, fuck those guys.
Yeah.
And we got them!
Remember those signs we had?
We beat them!
Remember those signs we had, extinguish the flames?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the fire extinguishers, woo! Like...
Yeah. To feel that
Hulk Hogan at center ice with his lightning bandana.
Those are great. I want that winning, that feeling of just that Caps fans.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just nostalgic in me, but like that period of Tampa sports for those like few years when we won 2 championships.
Greatest period of my life.
Like it was just, there was such a nostalgic.
Up until I have a baby or something.
Or something.
You're right. Right,
there was
though.
Just such a feeling that like you knew it was a special time, like, and the Rays, man, they almost held up their end of the bargain in 08, but
yeah, I know that was only what 4 years away from that.
Yeah, we would have had 3 championships. Not that long. From 2002 to 2008, we would have had 3 championships.
Yeah, God, I would suck again 1,000 dicks, a measurable amount of dicks for all of that. Speaking of the Rays,
all right, I got a quick question for you.
Ask me.
If like a genie in a lamp came to you and was like, Kyle,
yeah,
you have 3 teams in the area. We can make one of them a dynasty, one of them win a championship, and one of them leave.
Oh,
what would you do?
God, holy shit!
So one team would win multiple championships.
Bro,
one team would win one
Sophie's
championship,
choice.
And then one team would leave the city.
One team would leave the city permanently.
One team would win one championship, so single championship, and then one would be a dynasty. So when we'll say like 3 out of 5 years.
Dude, that question sucks. I don't want to answer that. What do I do? I don't know. Fuck. That's a really tough question. One team leaves. What team do I want to leave?
You don't want AIM to leave. That's what makes this question tough.
Right, but that's what it boils down to.
But the trade-off would be the other two teams are, like, you get a dynasty, which would be fucking amazing, and then you get a single championship for another team, which would also be amazing.
Okay, so...
Well, you obviously know who my dynasty would be. It would be the Lightning.
My dynasty would be the Bucks, because right. I think that would be that would bring, in terms of, like, what it would bring to the area as NFL being the king sport, that would bring a lot of exposure to the area. Not that the Lightning wouldn't.
Yeah.
But I think just the NFL being the sport that it is on top, kind of like it is.
Mine would be the Lightning. Lightning would be my dynasty. It's just childhood, me, my favorite sport, my favorite team. Watching them win 3 out of 5 cups, I'd probably just like die happy at that point.
Okay.
So now, who would win your solo like one championship?
Shit.
Because think about
it.
So
this is
so either the Lightning get over the hump, right?
It's the Rays. It's the Rays.
So you would let the Lightning leave.
Yeah.
So the most stable team in the area.
No, because this.
No, because the Bucks would be the most stable team in the area.
Yeah, what it boils down to essentially is you're asking me to rank my teams, basically. Yeah. Like, how do I feel about them? Yeah, that's I've made no secret of that. Lightning have always been the third. It's true. I'm sorry, it is true, but
mine would be the Rays.
Yeah.
So I would let the Bucks leave.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you were raised on you're a hockey fan, raised on football, so yeah, that makes sense. It's a tough question to answer, but
yeah,
got to make some tough decisions here, man.
And most people would disagree. I think most people would go Lightning Bucks that situation.
What? Oh, pick Lightning Bucks?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'd say 90% of Tampa, that's what they do.
Yeah, and let the Rays leave because they're already on the way out anyway,
yeah,
right? But wouldn't it be nice? It would be nice to see the Rays. What if we picked the Rays to be the dynasty? They just won like 3 out of 5 World Series.
Does nothing for me, though.
It doesn't either. Because
that means Stu Sternberg wins his fucking championship. Yeah. Like, yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
Bastards. And then what does that do for us?
Give me one
Marlins.
Give me one World Series in the inaugural year of the new stadium.
How about that? Yeah.
Segway.
That's tough. Well, I'm just saying that's a tough question, man. I don't want any team to leave. And so, like,
I know, but it's a fun hypothetical, I guess.
What that boiled down to for me was like rank your teams, like
basically.
Yeah. So that's what it is. I'll take give me the Bucks dynasty.
Man,
give me
if the Bucks had a dynasty, It would be fun to be your friend because you'd probably just be the happiest person. It's already fun to be your friend, but you'd just probably like lose your fucking mind.
I turn into Red Sox fans. Yeah.
You'd be on Twitter like,
we earned this one, yeah, baby. I don't want anybody to leave my city, my fair city.
Let's get an NBA
what
team.
I wanted to, no. What I wanted to answer is like, who USF? Have them leave. take your Charlie Strong and get the fuck out of here.
The whole university just disbands.
Yeah. Oh boy, here's where the takes from me at least might get a little hot.
I'm excited for this because when this news dropped, I was like, "Ooh, I'm excited to hear what Kyle has to say about this Rays stadium situation, which continues to hover over this city like a fucking terrible storm."
Should we save this? The race? Should we talk about the actual team on the field? Or
nah, let's talk the stadium. That's what everybody wants to hear. The team has been great.
Team's been
all
great.
All of a sudden, I don't know how.
We'll talk about it if we can. But
yeah,
yeah, Rays Stadium. Came out this week, as we knew it would on Tuesday, that the Rays unveiled the plans for their brand new stadium, which is fucking gorgeous. It's every Rays fan's wet dream. I think the only thing I don't like about it is that it's an artificial turf. I think that's the only problem I have. Well, in terms of just the field itself, in terms of just the renderings and looking at the renderings as just in space. If I were to look at that, like, that's a beautiful ballpark. That's a great place to play baseball. They did exactly what I wanted them to do, which was don't fuck around with this retractable roof. Yeah,
it's gonna cost way more.
We'll open it sometime, close it. We don't know when. It's the whole thing. Yeah, Toronto does it. The Marlins do it. It's bullshit. Houston does
it's
it.
Always
it's
closed.
It's basically it's a bunch
indoor
of horseshit. Let's call a spade a spade. And this is an indoor stadium, but they went the Minnesota Vikings route, and they did, like, the
natural lighting
with the sliding glass doors that'll open. That'll never be open, but
yeah,
that will open. And I think they also did, like, some kind of, one side of the stadium is going to have, sort of a facade reminiscent of a Ybor cigar factory. And just a beautiful stadium, man. It looks
that,
great.
That encapsulates all of Tampa and especially the culture of Ybor, and then also takes advantage of the weather we have here and the beautiful scenery and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's perfect design.
Yeah. Couldn't have asked.
Perfect for the area, and it's in a great spot.
Yeah. It's beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous. And yeah, you look at the renderings with there's those highways going around it. You're like, oh my God. And they're like, oh, it's right.
I know that place.
Right. Yeah. I drive by the place.
And I think they released a stat like 1.6 billion million people will be within 30 minutes.
Yeah. I can take the Selman Expressway there, right there from St. Pete. It'd be fine. It's a toll road. That's like most people would take 275. I'll take the Selman. I'll be at the Rays Stadium in 30 minutes. It's fine. Outstanding. Like that. I mean, and the other thing too, is that they went for a smaller seating, right?
Intimate setting.
A more intimate setting, which you could say, bah, the Rays, but...
That's the way baseball's going.
It is. It's going smaller.
People don't realize that the attendance problem in the MLB is not limited to just certain markets. Like, it's a big problem in Major League Baseball. Like, there's only a few markets out there that sell out every night or get close to it. Like, a lot of teams, even teams with new stadiums, like the Braves and the Marlins and all that, and the Braves are good, they still have trouble. Like, and that's because it's just, it's hard, man. There's a lot of games.
Well, you know what it is, Anthony? We live in a society that is used to thing. Everything comes to us in our house. We don't have to go to the, we don't go to Publix to buy groceries anymore. We could just place an order and they'll bring it to us. Or, you know, we don't have to interact with anybody to make a Publix sub. We'll just place the order, go to Publix. Only thing we have to do is check out. And if they have self-checkout, then you can fucking check out, go fuck yourself. Right? So we're
like
living
Bill Burr said.
Yeah, we're living in this society that's like, it's, you know, we have food now. We don't have to go to McDonald's. They'll bring us the food.
Right.
But the thing is, it's like, okay, so I live in this house. I have this massive television that's been sold to me with this amazing sound system. And I'm on the comfort of my couch and I can watch a 4K HD.
Like I'm there.
Yeah. Is 4K HD, you think so?
Yeah.
Or is just 4K? I just watch a four full K, a baseball game, a football game, a soccer game, anything
like
I wanted
I'm there.
To. What's that?
And it's like you're there.
It's like you're there. It's like it's better than you're there because you get the replays and you get the commentary
angles and
the angles. So why would I want to go to a fucking football game every Sunday in the heat and the shittiness when I could just stay at home? Same thing with baseball.
With football, it's a little different because it's like 8 games a year.
Exactly, but still, you still see the NFL kind of struggling with attendance because people are gonna stay at home regardless if it's an event every Sunday, right? It's a big event. It's a huge thing. People tailgate for it. People certainly don't tailgate for every fucking weekday Rays game.
Dude, there's people at UF games, okay, that park in the parking lot, have tickets for the game, park in the parking lot, but they bring like RVs or campers or whatever.
Yeah.
They set up big TVs outside with a bunch of food, and they all just chill out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
So you're still getting the game day atmosphere in terms of everybody's happy and jubilant and flying around, and you can hear the stadium from where you're sitting. But you're in the parking lot watching the game.
Yeah, drinking your own beer. Not paying $8
right.
a beer. And
watching it on your own TV.
Right.
Eating your own food.
So I'm saying those massive sports like college football.
Papa John's, fuck you.
Well, maybe not college football, but yeah, fuck you. But like massive sports like the NFL are struggling with attendance because people don't want to leave their home. So how in 82 games a year are you going to get your local fan there? You're just not. Like sports in general are going smaller, and it's more of the home, viewing experience.
Here's another point. You know what league has problems with attendance in some markets, but for the most part, most of their markets do really well. Hockey.
Yeah.
You know why? Because the stadium's only like 19,000 people.
Yeah. It's beautiful. You don't have to
fill it. It's really easy to pack that shit.
Yeah.
Like, Amway's packed every night. It's only 19,000 people, but it's packed.
Yeah.
And it looks good for the team, and the team's making all the money they need. And the league is like, hey, look, the stadium's full on a Tuesday night against the fucking Coyotes or whatever. Like, there is, but there's also markets like Florida and Arizona and stuff like that where it's, you know, there's problems.
Sure.
But it's intimate, which I'm glad the Rays went that way because it's never going to be 50,000 people a night.
Right.
It never. And the stadium would just look empty like it does already.
Like it does now. And people say, well, it's only a small step down from where the attendance is now. Yes, and I understand that because the Rays have tarped off and sectioned off so many seats. But that is a stadium that was built for 40,000 people. That's a fucking huge stadium for them.
The Trop is huge.
Playing. It is
people
massive.
Don't realize that. The Trop is fucking gigantic.
Yeah. It can't fit as many as Raymond James, but it's what? I think the mass capacity is somewhere around 40-something thousand people.
Yeah, if they maxed it out during
the
playoff run,
didn't
they?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't even think they even did, but
they did, I think.
So, it's that intimate little stadium is fantastic.
Plus, like, where you're building it to, you're not building it in a field like the Cowboys Stadium or something like that. Like, so we don't just have all this land that we can just build out and expand. Like, you have to build something a little smaller where you're putting it.
Right. Like, and the other thing, too, the beautiful thing is like, now all of our stadiums are within 5 minutes of each other driving distance.
Yep.
I'd say maybe the Rays or the
furthest run from,
out.
You can probably run.
Or the Bucks are actually the furthest
out. Depending
on
traffic. Think about it for a second. Depending on traffic, you'd probably go from the Rays Stadium to Amway in how long?
You can walk there almost.
Almost. It's, yeah. You know, it's on the other side of downtown.
But still,
it's,
I mean, that's why,
a far-ass walk.
I would walk that. I mean, I think I've done that before. When
yeah, but no, but that's like interstate, and then Amelie's like back towards the water.
Yeah.
That's a far walk. Yeah. But anyway.
But you don't even have like to be in the interstate. You can just take that 10
to 15 minutes drive, maybe. Maybe. On traffic. Like, maybe. Probably less than that. And then Raymond James is a little further out, but it's still pretty close.
Yeah.
So it's right there near 275. It's right there near the off-ramp on Del Mabry.
Yep.
So everything, it's like a triangle. Everything's within a certain
it's
area.
Great. I love it.
Yeah. I hope it happens. But,
well,
but there's a problem. But there's one big problem.
They did everything I liked, right?
Yeah.
I,
and then they were like, here's the bill. Like,
right.
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit, what?
Yeah.
This is just spaghetti and meatballs.
Like, yeah, exactly. When you eat a really good meal and they're like, like,
I thought this steak was, oh, it's the sides. The sides. The sides. Get you every time we got the drinks. Bastards. I thought it was like, it was perfect to me up until that point. I was thinking, translucent roof, small seating arrangement. Okay, that certainly can't be like some kind of huge price tag, can it? No, apparently it's almost $1 billion. So, fuck. We're stuck in the same thing.
It's always going to be expensive.
It's a bunch of horse shit, man. That's an absurd amount of money to be paying for a stadium.
And how much does old Stew you want to put in?
He said $152 million. Initially. Now, this week it came out, he said he'd be willing to pay more. But more is like, what is more? Couple thousand more?
More, Seymour.
I'll tell you what, there. I'll give you. Why do I always go to Gruden?
I don't know.
I was even trying to go to, like, old-timey train guy, but Gruden just came out of me.
Going down to the ballpark.
He's just inside of me, like, wanting to come out.
Can you do Gruden as, like, the old, like, baseball radio commercial guy?
I'll tell you what, there, man. He's going to hit that one high and deep to right field. I remember when I hit one high and deep to right field. Marshawn Lynch reminds me of that guy, man. I tell you what, he's gonna bust through that right field wall.
Just imagine Gruden in, like, black and white. Like,
and it's gone.
Hey, tell you what, man, come on down to the ballpark, man.
He gets a popcorn, man. You know, Doug Martin reminds me of popcorn, man. He's just popping around the pocket, just pop. I like that, man. Love that guy. What?
I don't even know.
$1 billion stadium.
$1 billion.
Here's the thing. Okay, now. There was an article, I think it was by Martin Freeman or somebody in the St. Pete Times. He kind of wrote about going through the same thing with Raymond James Stadium, and it was not kind of interesting. It was incredibly interesting because if you see one of the things that they talked about this time with the stadium, it's that this is a community stadium, guys. This is going to be a year-round venue for everybody to enjoy.
That's always the biggest crock of shit.
You know what? Come on into the stadium. We're just going to open the doors every Saturday. Let's see. You can have a little hoedown on the field.
You know what happened to all the establishments around the Marlins Zoo Stadium? They all went fucking bankrupt after the stadium opened because nobody stopped at their fucking restaurants anymore.
Well, I don't think we'll have that problem because Ybor's are already
Ybor's established.
Yeah. So, I mean, at least that problem we don't have. But the thing is like, Raymond James Stadium, it was...
If y'all don't know, is next to, like, nothing.
So
too,
this
by
is
the way.
Thing.
It's, like, next to, like, a park and a couple strip clubs. And like, there's nothing around it.
Excuse me. The Pink Pony is a fine establishment.
there's, like, a car dealership across the street. Like, yeah, there's
and
a lot
a,
on.
There's a Sam Seltzer Steakhouse right down the street. They have.
No, it's closed now.
Oh, is it closed? Oh,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, they closed a while ago. The one with all the cows out in front?
Yeah.
Yeah, it closed a while
what?
Ago.
What? There's a Kmart there, though. Kmart's still there?
Nope, it's a fucking, like,
what the fuck?
Ashley Home Store now or something like that.
No, maybe get your
that
shit together.
That whole plaza got redone.
Really?
Yep.
Ah, well, the Best Buy's there.
The Best Buy is down the street.
And now there's a Whole Foods and there's yeah. a, yeah, okay, I got it.
There's a Best Buy and a Staples and a Walmart and
all right, they're still doing
McDonald's.
Business. Anyways.
And a Chipotle and a Starbucks.
The, and a Mons Venus. World renowned.
There used
by
to
the
be
way.
A Longhorn, but they moved it to West
Wyclef Jean. Wyclef Jean called it out and Perfect Gentleman.
That one long car
Mons
wash.
Mons Venus.
Yes.
But the St. Pete Times had an article about how the Malcolm Glazer, suddenly, when he bought the team, decided that, and I remember this too because I was a little kid. I was helping my dad out, like trying to do anything to keep the Bucks in town. I feel like that's going to be me soon with the Rays because this is the same thing's going to happen. Because
I'll go with you, Dad.
He wants Malcolm Glazer wanted his new stadium, and it got to the point where there was a and I'm too young to remember like every detail of this, but it got to the point where a rumor came out. And imagine this. I just want you to imagine this today. This is the Buccaneers. So a rumor came out that they had a deal in place to move to Cleveland. So all this Cleveland media came down to Tampa to do these interviews. Now imagine that happening today. If all this Montreal media, like, there's suddenly something came out like for real, and it's on Twitter, and you're like, holy shit. And like all this Montreal media comes down. They're like, it's happening, man.
It'd be a shit storm.
It'd be a shit storm, right?
Yeah.
So that's what happened with the Bucks. Same thing happened with the Bucks. Cleveland media was down here, right? And that spooked a lot of the city officials into kind of being like,
talking, okay, all right, we'll play. Yeah.
Talking to the Glazers and be like, listen, okay, we'll put a referendum on there for the voters to decide. And the thing is okay, do you agree on this extra half cent? I think it was like a half cent tax or a tax to go to support the schools, to go to support roads. Go to support. I think there was something else.
Infrastructure.
And then a community investment stadium. That's how it was put on the referendum.
It's the biggest crock of shit.
And it passed. And so it became became this community stadium. Raymond James Stadium was originally.
Really? So I could just go there whenever, huh?
Right.
So I could just go run the field whenever,
right,
I want.
The,
yeah,
name sounds like a gym. Like,
yeah,
I'm, yeah. Like, we can go on Saturdays.
Right,
and
you
want to
go work out?
Flag.
Yeah.
Let's play flag football.
Yeah,
there.
On the fucking outfield. Yeah. It's a community stadium. What do you mean? It's like the security
that's
pulling
fun
us out. Like, yeah.
So isn't that so interesting that the Rays are doing the same thing? And don't you know?
It's not a community stadium.
Exactly. It's going to be the Rays stadium.
I have to
yourself.
Pay to enter, number one.
Yeah.
And number two, I can't go there whenever I want. So there's nothing community about it.
Yeah, but bro, you can go see Macklemore there. You know, it's
community. Well, he went to Macklemore. That was his
stadium. Surf shop.
Go see Creed.
Yeah, go see Creed and featuring Three Doors
Gwen
Down.
Stefani.
And Gwen Stefani. Oh, yeah. She's pretty big. But yeah, they're billing it as this community stadium, which you go fuck yourself with that. Don't treat me like an idiot, Bob Buckhorn. Like, I'm not a fucking idiot here, Stu. I know what you're doing. I know you're going to come to me for this fucking money. So don't fucking patronize me by saying this is a community stadium. God, eat a fucking thousand dicks with that, with the community stadium.
It's pretty much like your friend who always mooches off you coming up to you and having that fake conversation just to lead up to asking you to need
money.
Yeah.
Or the homeless guy's like, hey, bro. He's like, hey, bro, can I talk to you? And you're like,
oh, I wonder about what.
Money.
Yeah.
He's like, nah, man, no, listen, man. Are you Christian? I'm Christian. You know, I've just been having a bad day, and, you know, my wife and, you know, everything.
My favorite story is always, we got to get back to Miami, bro. We broke down up here. Yeah.
My pregnant wife's in the car,
yeah,
bro.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, that's Stu right now. He's
so,
just,
okay, so we're just talking about your life then. Well, no, I need money.
I need money, yeah.
Oh, so you could have just led with that. Like,
And here's the thing that I've come to realize, that as a resident of Pinellas County, I ain't gotta pay shit. It's all on you, motherfuckers in Hillsborough. Have fun with that. No, I jest because I don't want to lose the team. So you guys better pony up. Pony up.
I ain't paying shit.
So, well, Bob Buckhorn has said that he intends for it to come out of like the like a bed tax on hotels.
Really?
Perhaps
the
tourists. The tourist tax on rental cars.
Yeah, you're gonna get that money. Sure.
Also, sure. What else has he said? He said a couple other things, but anything to kind of keep it away. Like, they were talking about maybe subsidies or not, like tax breaks.
Know.
On.
Why don't
we
just make the fucking rich guys pay for it?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But see, this is the thing that's going to happen. We're at this point now, right, where we have stadium renderings, and now they've done this big dog and pony show because it's they're getting everybody excited.
The
Rays, like,
official account tweeted it out. Like,
hey, we're new stadium. Hey, yeah, pay for our stadium.
Yeah.
Do, 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 do. Like, that's what they're doing. And it's going to get nasty again.
Yep.
It's going to get real nasty again to the point where we think the Rays are going to leave. Mark my words. Well, like we've been saying for the past few months on Jameis Winston, of like, mark my words, with this suspension, it's happening. And sure enough, it did happen.
You were shaking your dick on Twitter.
Fuck yeah, because I've been saying it for months. Like, of course, like, he's getting suspended.
Yeah.
So the same thing is going to happen with the Rays. I'll start this now. It's gonna get real bad again, to the point of Montreal, like with the Bucks, where Cleveland media is coming down. Montreal or Charlotte
or
whatever
the fuck, yeah.
Media is going to be down here, and it's going to be a sure thing at some point where we're like, oh, fuck, it's happening.
And then it doesn't, hopefully.
And then hopefully it doesn't. Well, but that's that point is going to come. It will. 100% it will.
It's just the way they play the game.
Yeah.
It's fucking horseshit.
It is.
Billionaires don't want to spend money.
Nope.
Not even for their new toy.
Yeah, but you know what? Even if they don't want to spend money, they can still have a good team on the field, apparently.
I'm flabbergasted. I really
Yeah.
No, don't give me that shit.
No, I'm not.
Don't give me that shit that you're like, oh, I knew this was coming all along. Like,
no, I fully had a meltdown on here like episodes ago. I'm just saying it's just a good – I'll maintain it's just a good surprise. Good surprise.
We're seeing the fruits of our labor with the young kids. Domus got sent down, but I think that's just until they can trade Hecheverria so you can get at bats.
Yeah, but his bats also been a little – but I still think he should be starting every day. So
yeah, well, they can't with Hecheverria.
Exactly.
They got to showcase him to trade him. I mean, it's great, man. Like, it's great that it's fun baseball, number one. And number two, like – it's a youth movement as well. So, like, you can see the future now. Like, for a while there, we were just sitting there like, what is the Rays' future?
Yeah, what
like,
is this team?
Like, yeah.
Everybody's kind of sucks.
We're kind of scuffling around 500. Like, but now we're scuffling around 500. Not scuffling. We're four games over. But with, like, a direction in mind. Like, we're going this way.
Yeah,
like,
it's
youth movement. Trading the vets like Ramos and Hecheverria and getting something for them and, like, future. Like, there's something there.
I still think that the – This team isn't making the playoffs for sure.
They're not. They're still like 10 games out. But
yeah, there's a big losing streak.
And the
to
A's
be had.
Are destroying people now. Apparently, so
I think we dip under 500 again, and maybe get close to it again. And I think that's how the year's going to go.
But
yeah.
What we are is what we are. But there's people out there like they could easily win 90 because like if they go 42-28 because their schedule is like really easy the rest of the way. Like great. Still not going to make the playoffs, probably. It's like, but
I don't know. Maybe that Oakland Athletics and Tampa Bay Rays ALCS happens.
Ooh, man. Fucking MB would shit their pants.
Baseball would die.
Yeah.
I love this whole opener strategy. It's pissing a lot of people off. It's working. We have one of the
That's
lowest
my fair part.
TBRAs.
We're not just doing it just to piss people off. Only reason people are pissed is because it's working.
I know. They're
That's
like,
the
fuck.
Only reason people are pissed. They're like, fuck, I don't want to do that. And the Dodgers tried it for one game, and it didn't work, and they stopped doing it. And I was like, "And look, make no mistake. Like, part of it is because everybody's hurt.
Yeah, we had nobody. But now it's like, yeah, it worked. And we're like, oh, fucking, yeah. Meant to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's called it's a starter.
Yeah.
But like a start, like a
All
opener.
Of a sudden, Nathan Eovaldi is really good. Like, didn't see that one coming. We made fun of that move. Like, we're like, oh, yeah, sign the guy who's had, like, three elbow surgeries. Like, and meanwhile, he almost threw a perfect game against the Mets.
This is what happens when every fucking crazy thing that we mocked in the offseason, like, starts to work. And we're like, shit.
Yeah.
They're doing good. I think
I kind of don't want to go back to full-time starters.
I know. I love how much. But
I hope we ride this shit all the way to the pennant. Fuck it.
Did you see how badly Blake Snell got snubbed for the All-Star?
Bro. I usually don't care about All-Star selections because it's all bullshit, really. But
it's like clear.
This one was like,
yeah.
Come on. Like, really, bro? Like, Ramos and Snell should have made it. Ramos made it. Snell should have made it with him. It's bullshit that he didn't. What are you going to do? That's the nature of letting fans vote. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think with pitch, no, I don't know for sure. Like
managers can select players too, and they didn't, but they didn't select Snell.
Yeah, what the fuck, Kevin Cash? He's
you're on the assistant. Oh, yeah. All of a sudden, Kevin Cash, who we maybe didn't give enough time before we judged him.
Right?
We're like, we gave him, like, now
he's all right.
He's had a few years on the job, and, like, he's learned, and all of a sudden he's, like, a really, like, pretty good manager. Like, people are talking about him like he's a really good manager. Like, and he is because he's managed all these injuries, and we're four games over 500. And
would it be so crazy after this year to imagine him going to
some... by the way, he also has his own coaching staff in place as well instead of having to defer to Jim Hickey and fucking,
right.
Like, yeah.
Do what Joe would do.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you mean what Joe would do? There's a book. Read it.
Yeah. Penguins in the clubhouse.
He left it in the clubhouse.
Yeah. Kevin.
Is it so crazy to think of like some bigger market team poaching him away now? It's really not. Like he's sort of like now the kind of the hot name in baseball a little bit.
I want you to imagine this scenario, Kyle.
Don't do this to me.
Just go with me for a second.
The Cubs. Who does
Wait
it?
Wait a minute.
Who does this to me? Tell me.
Joe Madden.
No!
Joe Madden.
For Kevin Cash, straight up.
Joe Madden leaves the Cubs, right? Joe Madden leaves the Cubs. Comes back to the Rays in a front office role.
Okay. Never going to happen, but sure.
Kevin Cash goes to the Cubs. And then Joe Madden hires Jim Hickey as the manager in Tampa.
What? No. Actually,
you actually spoiled what I was going to say. Was that the Rays trade back for Joe Madden for Kevin Cash in a manager swap.
Joe Madden has a front office position here. I'm talking 10, 20 years down the road. I don't see
as an ambassador. Probably.
Yeah, I don't see that being so far-fetched because I think he does like living down here.
Yeah. Like a Steve Spurrier at Florida now, mm-hmm. where he's like going to moot meetings and like smooching with the public and
like
stuff.
What?
Like
what? What's his fuck? Motherfucking.
What's his fuck? Motherfucking
old bear dude who we had Don Zimmer.
The guy who died.
I knew who that guy.
One of the most famous baseball people ever.
You know, dead guy. You know, dead guy. Fucking
Gaines Adams.
You know, Gaines. Oh shit.
Always comes back to Gaines Adams.
Oh god.
Yeah, Don Zimmer. Yeah, he helped. He was in the clubhouse.
Yeah, Dilf Zapper.
Dilf Zapper.
he was great, man.
How many managers before Joe Madden can you name from the Rays? I can name one. Yeah, exactly. Lou Piniella. That's it.
How many Lightning coaches can I name?
He went to the Cubs as well after the Rays. So
I can only name post-Torts coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barry Melrose.
But in my defense, I wasn't very
Barry
sports
Melrose,
aware
Sky
before
Boucher,
that point.
John Cooper, John Tortorella.
Tockett.
No. Was he assistant coach or no?
Head coach, right? Rick Tockett.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's it, really. Yeah, that's it.
And head coach Vincent LeCavier at one point, probably.
Yeah. Barry Melrose just let him do his thing. Yeah. I remember when we got Barry Melrose, and I was like, "This is it.
This is we fired the analyst that couldn't win a cup with Gretzky.
There we go, baby.
We got this fucking on lock.
We got the Gretzky guy.
The guy who could not win a cup with Gretzky.
He coached Gretzky. He's gonna coach Stamkos into the
He's not ready, man.
He's not ready.
Wasn't ready.
God.
Fucking idiot.
Seriously though, I do think Kevin Cash is. Especially this year, he's gonna his dick suck a lot this year in the media. He's doing pretty well.
We're just stuck in an endless loop of sadness.
This is the other thing too. If the stadium gets funded, then suddenly this is a lot of excitement built around the Rays right now because they want to start building this stadium in 2020.
So we're gonna see it go up.
We're gonna see it, of course.
Start to go up.
Yeah, start to go up like very soon, if it happens, and. Maybe with that in mind, they keep some of these guys around because they want to. But there's again, like you've argued before, there's no guarantee of that. There's no guarantee that they don't just fucking completely Marlins us, especially after getting $1 billion to build their stadium.
Well, the hope is
Sternberg has
the
already,
hope is that by 2023 the Rays are an established contender, I guess, and like so that first team that plays in that stadium, there's something there. But my fear is. That 2023 is a long way off from Rayland. Though that's 5 years of guys leaving and stuff like that, and that's 5 years. A lot could change in 5 years. Who knows what the team's going to be that first year of the stadium?
Just give me my stadium. That's all I want. I want my stadium so I know.
Kyle's like, I don't care if the team goes 0-162.
Because at some point, as long as I get my stadium and I know they're not leaving, right? And then at some point, someone who gives a shit about the team is going to buy him up. Because Stu's not long for this world, guys. Stu is out in 10 years at the most. Especially
Who's the head of Amazon?
Bezos?
Yeah, I hope he buys the Rays.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe Elon Musk buys them.
He's going to be like, I invented this thing to hit the ball with.
We're going to build the stadium underground.
I invented this thing to catch the ball.
In an active volcano.
It's called a cove.
He sells the flame. The guy's a Bond villain, dude. It's so clear. He's telling you he's a Bond villain.
One of my favorite tweets ever was like, every 5 years, a really smart guy invents public transportation. That's what Elon Musk is, because he's like, dude, I'm going to invent like a car, but it's wide and it's long and it's tall and has a lot of seats. Oh, you mean a bus? No. Like,
can't do that. Better.
Yeah. That's what Elon Musk is to me. Like,
yeah, so when he buys the Rays, we'll have the stadium on the moon, but we'll have public transportation also. It'll be the Tampa Bay Rays.
Motherfucker built a submarine out of rocket parts. And meanwhile, the guys trying to rescue those kids out of the cave are like, all right, we have this really like well thought out plan where these divers are going to be stationed at certain points. At certain points, they have to take their oxygen tank off to get through a certain crevice. But there'll be another guy there with a respirator. We have, you know, it's really intricate.
Wait, is that how they did it?
Yeah, at a certain point, they to get through a crack, they had to take their oxygen tank off.
God damn.
Yeah, that like. So what does Elon Musk do? It's a submarine built out of rocket parts. And immediately he brings it there, and they're like, it's not going to fit through that one area, the key area, you know, the area we keep talking about. It won't fit. He's like, I'm going to leave it here in case you need it. It's like, and everybody's like, Elon Musk is great. And I'm like, it's good.
Why does he bore through the fucking tunnel? Got the boring company, right? Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, the guy that wants to build underground tunnels in L.A. where the earth is constantly shifting.
Dude, he's a
That'll go well.
He's a Bond villain. That's what it is.
Don't give dumb.
Dumb people. He's a smart people.
He's smart. But don't. But let's not give people like him that kind
of
money. Ever
how
again,
dare
please.
You? Next owner of the Rays. And this
Elon,
is how you.
No, it's the Amazon about. Guy. Jeff, that way we can all get free Prime with
it's
every
Jeff
ticket.
Bezos.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can buy your tickets on Amazon Prime. They ship
exactly. They ship them right to your house.
They ship in 2 days. But yeah. They're already. We have e-tickets. But shipping in 2 days. Like, oh, shit. You're right. Wait.
Rays gear is half off on Amazon.
I'll take it. Anything else?
Nope.
Bucks, do better.
Rays.
Do
you.
Do you.
Lightning please. Please.
Please. Please, God. What are you going to do now? Now we gotta do bold predictions, and now your bold prediction has come true. You called it, bro. You fucking called it.
Braden Point resigns.
Yeah. Andre Vasilevsky. Long-term deal.
Resigns.
That's the next thing. How about Erik Karlsson trade?
That's the bold prediction. By this time next week, there will be more rumblings about Erik Karlsson.
Karlsson will be a Buck, and you know, Jameis Winston will sign a 7-year contract with the Lightning. That's what I think. All right, guys. I don't know. Do I have any real bold predictions? Wilson Ramos gets a hit in the All-Star game, will that happen?
Sounds like we're talking to the Astros about him, which would be nice because their prospect system is loaded.
I don't know if he needs to. I'd like to keep him, but I don't think we.
A lot of people are starting to say, like, I don't know if we should trade Ramos. Like, maybe we should give him an extension instead.
Yeah, the Rays are terrible at developing catchers.
If the Rays are going to, like, building for next year and beyond, like, we're going to need a catcher.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to sign the dude to an exorbitant deal. He's only looking for like 3 years or 4 years, like 30 million.
Yeah, he's already said that. I don't think he's looking for a long contract.
Yeah, he's looking like for three. That's perfect. Yeah. Like, their window's going to start opening then. Like, we need a catcher. We still have yet to draft a catcher worth of shit. That's like our one weak spot in our prospect system. We still don't have a catcher that's coming up. So, like, why don't we just keep Ramos? Like,
Every
once in a while, you guys sign people to extensions? Like, including Kevin Kiermaier.
I don't see it happening. Hi, Kiermaier. Kiermaier actually, he was on this like 3-for-33 slump.
He's still terrible.
But he kind of broke out. He's broken terrible. Out of it in the last.
Oh
few
God,
years.
He got three hits. Oh joy, what is he at now? Two.
I think he had a home run, right?
Yeah, fucking home run. Yeah. Great.
Yeah, I know. I feel the same way. You're preaching the choir, right? But I'm just trying to see the good in him. He's been
Mr. One of the only long-term deals left on the team, and it's fucking Kevin Kiermaier.
By the way, can we get Chris Archer off this team? Like,
ASAP? Oh shit, the hot takes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that a hot take? Fuck
no,
him.
It's not. Yeah. I think we've already passed the window where his value would have been super high, which is probably this offseason.
I know. Yeah. Remember he was like a phenom, and now he's like, fuck him.
For once we didn't sell high and sign the guy to extension, and now it's backfiring.
I mean, he never developed that fucking third put away pitch. He had that fastball slider thing, and then
he's
trying
to develop a change. Get hammered.
Yeah, he's just got two pitches. That's it. So
fuck,
I don't know.
Man.
Yeah, he's. I don't know. He can still turn around.
I wish there was like. like some sort of like rule where once a year you could make guys trade contracts. It's like, Blake Snell, please take Chris Archer's deal.
Yeah, right. He's like, fuck! I didn't agree to this. Ah, well, you agreed to play in the league, bro. Okay. Sorry. That's how it goes. Okay. Let's get out of here. That has been War of the Bay. My bold prediction is yeah, we already made bold predictions.
Nonsense, poopy pants.
Nonsense, poopy pants. I am Kyle.
I'm Anthony.
See you next
week.
Nick. That's Nick. He's over here. And I'm
John C. Your time is up. My time is now. You can't see me. My time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me. My time is now.
In case you forgot or fell off, I'm still hot. Knock your shell off. My money stacked fat, plus I can't turn the swell off. The franchise doing big business. I'm living this. It's automatic. I win this, so you hear me.